Welcome to the All Out As Is podcast. I'm your host, Adia. Brene Brown once said, "One day you will tell the story of how you overcame what you went through, and it will be someone else's survival guide." These are my stories, my lessons learned, my experiences. It is my hope that through this podcast, you will find grace for your past, purpose and alignment for your future, and contentment in this moment as you live all out your way, just the way you are. If you aren't already following me on social media, please check out Adia Dance on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and at adiadance.com. All right, let's get started. Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of this podcast, All Out As Is. And this is kind of a part two to attracting dance partners and being the person that others want to dance with. So in the last episode, if you haven't listened, I would go back and just listen, kind of hear a little bit of my story and my experience and why I have these things to say about attracting dance partners. But in the last one, I talked about being willing to dance with anybody, not be like taking dance snob out of your vocabulary, the song, whether it be the song or the person, just be willing to enjoy the dance and the people that are in your sphere. And then having a good attitude, making it the best dance of the night, and then each subsequent dance, the best dance of the night, each and every one of them. And then the second main point had to do with asking people to dance and having the courage, choosing to move past the discomfort and the fear of rejection. And I mean, it really does take courage, but asking people to dance and how this is going to elevate the amount of instances that you get to get on the dance floor, which ultimately just translates into an amazing experience all around. So today in this episode, I want to talk about a couple other pointers, about five or so, that will really kind of help you be that person that other people want to dance with. So in no particular order, first of all, when you get onto the dance floor, I want to encourage you to take it slow. That doesn't mean you need to dance slow to a fast song. It just means don't rush. And one of the ways that we can find ourselves rushing is as a follow by backleading and kind of pulling our lead into something that we want to do or moving faster than our lead is asking us to. And as a lead, one way that you can rush is by just going from one move to another. Go, 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 go. Never a moment to pause. Never a little break in between. Take a moment for a dip. Slow down with the lyrics that have like a note that's held out. Take a moment and just smile at each other. Just do something silly. So don't be so eager to just do everything, because in a partner dance, sometimes less is more. And I always like to tell students that I work with, especially the new ones, like, if you've got a handful of moves, that's perfect. That's just enough. You can put them in different sequences, have little moments in between, just be playful out on the dance floor and try to just take it slow. You've got between 2.5 to 4 minutes to enjoy that experience with that partner, that dance, that song. And don't rush it. Just enjoy it. So the next thing would be aware of apologizing so much on the dance floor. So this is something that I'm still working on, but it definitely was something that was very much a part of like almost every dance that I had, especially in the first couple of years. I would apologize left and right. I would miss a move and I'd apologize. I'd miss a step, I'd apologize. I'd feel like there was something that seemed a teeny bit off and I'd apologize. And the reason why I was apologizing was because I was insecure and I didn't want that lead or that partner to think that I was a bad dancer or not want to dance with me again. So I was just constantly apologizing. And ultimately, like, the sentiment is there, and like your reasoning for it may make sense to you, but on the other end of those apologies can make the person feel like they are needing an apology or inviting an apology, or make them maybe think that they're like doing something that's making you feel like you're doing something wrong. And it can kind of have the adverse effects of what you're going for. So the reality is, unless you smack someone or elbow them or run into them, apologies really aren't needed on the dance floor. Instead, laugh them off, you know, smile, just really laugh it off. That's really one of the best things you can do, is if you mess up, if you feel like you mess up or you miss a lead, just be like, whoop, and, you know, whatever noise or sound. I'm definitely known for making some noises out on the dance floor, just like gleeful noises. But just laugh it off. It's not a competition. You're not being judged. You're not being, critiqued, at least for the most part. And that leads me to my third point. As much as I totally get that you want to grow and you want to be a better dancer, it can be a little bit of a mood kill if you're always asking for critiques on the dance floor. So if you're like, oh, did I do that okay? Am I doing this right? And asking for critiques constantly, like, tell me what I'm doing wrong. Your heart is in the right place of wanting to learn, but it can make the other person feel like, number one, you think that they're judging you. Okay, I hope I got that right. It's like, if you're the one asking for critiques, it's like you're constantly thinking that the other person is judging your dancing versus just dancing with you. It's super normal for lots of people to be at different levels. You might be a beginner dancing with advanced, or intermediate dancing with all-star, or beginner dancing with ultra beginner, whatever it is. Like, those are okay. Like, those differences are okay. And you want to, those can be acknowledged simply in the moves that are chosen. Like, okay, if you're an advanced dancer and you're dancing with a beginner, don't throw crazy stuff at them, which is the next point I'll get to. But overall, save that if you want to get critiques, which is totally valid, I would suggest that you ask about it after. Like, after the dance, be like, hey, next time we dance, would you mind? Or when you think about it, could we have a dance where you do give me some critiques? So that you're kind of setting the stage and you're not just going out there, someone asks you to dance, and you're not like automatically in student teacher mode and putting them in student teacher mode. So it's not that people don't want feedback, but it can feel a little unpleasant when you're constantly, when you're the person being asked for critiques, thinking that the other person's always just kind of wanting to be judged, to be critiqued by you. So it's just, again, my opinion would be to save it for another time, or even right when you get off the dance floor, ask for a second dance with critiques. So when people ask me for critiques on the dance floor, I say, oh, let's just dance this one and we'll talk about it after. And then after, I'll say, hey, if you're interested, I'd love to have another dance where I focus more on giving you some sort of feedback, because I'm so happy to give feedback. But also, I'm just looking to dance and not always be like teaching out there, which is a great thing. So that brings me to one of the other comments is, you as a lead in particular, and I talked about this in the last episode also to a degree, but as a lead, you want to give your follow the best dance possible. And one way to do that is by not over challenging them. So kind of speaking to my higher level leads right now, if you're a high level lead and you're dancing with, well, any dance partner you get, you should kind of feel them out. First half of the song, you're trying things. You're feeling out where their weight is, like where they like to settle, and are they moving fast? Are they moving slower? Like, are you able to guide? It's like an assessment time for how to best lead that dance and have an amazing dance. So when a lead goes out and just throws their best stuff, like their best move, like laying it all on the table, you may feel like it makes you look good. But if your follow is not like, if your follow is struggling to keep up with what you're doing, it actually, and I'm speaking from a follow's perspective, it can make us feel pretty crappy, like make us feel like we're not good dancers, like we're not doing well. And I've been in this position a handful of times, not a ton, but a handful of times where the lead is just like challenging and they're just throwing everything. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know what you're asking. I feel like I'm tripping all over myself. I'm making it hard for you to lead. I'm not being a good dance partner. And it just like, it's an unnecessary experience to have where instead, if you just take it step by step, move by move, see what your follow can handle. And then if they miss a lead, try it again. Like try it again in a couple steps. See if they get it versus forcing it or yanking or God forbid saying something negative on the dance floor. Please, for the love of God, do not say something negative to anyone on the dance floor. You've got no idea how far that can go to really hurt and destroy someone's confidence for a long time. So give someone the best dance of their life every single time. Every time it's the best dance. And from the whichever perspective you are, you're smiling, you're engaging, you're looking at your partner, you're living in the moment, you're dancing to the music, you're singing to the song, you're having playful moments, and working at a pace that both of you feel comfortable with. And then to finish the dance, as I mentioned before, always give a thank you. It might be just a verbal thank you. It might be a high five, might be a hug. And then I always like to suggest to walk your follow off the dance floor. Walk, have a time where there's an escorting off of the dance floor. And it's okay if during that escorting, the next person asks you to dance and you don't make it all the way off the floor. That's okay. But I feel like for me personally, one of the most like kind of disrespectful things is for a lead to just kind of like throw me out after a dance, like do a little spin out, roll me, you know, do a little free spin and then just take off. Like, oh, okay, thanks. It's maybe it's a personal thing. It just kind of feels like a little abandonment, like not like they hated it. It feels like they hated it, like they couldn't wait to get away. And probably that's not the intention, but that is how it can kind of come off. So again, this is if you want to be that person that everyone wants to dance with, if you want to be someone who is highly sought after as a dance partner, no matter your skill level, y'all, I'm not talking about being an advanced dancer. I'm talking about wherever you're at. All right. I hope this was helpful for someone. And I'd love to hear about it. So let me know in the comments of the video of wherever you see this, listen to or see this podcast. Let me know your thoughts. And if you've got any other topics you'd like me to go over, I'd love to hear about them. So until next time, live and dance all out your way, just as you are. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you absolutely loved what you heard today, be sure to share it with me by leaving a review on iTunes so I can keep the good stuff coming your way. If you aren't already following me on social media, come soak up the extra inspiration on Instagram by following Adia Dance or by visiting my website, adiadance.com. And of course, I'm on all the other social platforms as well, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, and the like. I appreciate you and all your uniqueness and cannot wait to connect with you in the next episode. In the meantime, go live all out as is your way.